Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is Turncoat Tuesday. It's 24th day of July, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 82 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 91 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. Just going to be a hot day, hot summer day. I have no complaints. And we're going to just open up with just a little talk. Little talk's good sometimes. And we have articles, and we're going to lead one thing into another, but we're going to start with a little talk.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. I hadn't been listening to none of the other broadcasts, for over a week. In fact, today was the first day that I listened to the Morning Intelligence Report, and I'd listened to nothing else. And it was pretty much the same subject matter I heard covered the last time I listened. And Mark was talking about the protests down here in Portland, Oregon. The Antifa and Patriot Prayer protest groups clash in Portland incident. Mark's talked many times about the fact there will be no riots in the streets, and I've told you people that there will be badass fights. There'll be hell broke loose on the streets before the real gun battles and the war is fought. And, I mean, this will be the beginning of the war. At any rate, I mean, there's just this leaning towards this prayer protest group. Now, Mark, at the first part of the program, I mean, he did a diatribe talking about what a low-down, dirty, treasonous piece of shit Donald Trump is, which Donald Trump is. He's an internationalist controlled by the Israelis, by the Zionists. And then they start, working. You see, people, these people have been doing this a long time. They understand propaganda. I mean, propaganda's got to be a pretty freaking sorry thing if you think about it, if you watch the mainstream propaganda machine. You got people like Bret Baier, the dimwit crew. Man, why can't I think of a name when I want to think of a name? I mean, they're all over the damn thing. Man, come on, Henry, there's a zillion of them. Tucker Carlson, all of these people. You see, these are propagandists. They're running propaganda programs. And their propaganda programs are run out of think tanks, and they are a sorry lot. when it comes around to somebody like Mark Kornke, and you know, he's way higher intelligent than these people, and nobody's running it. His brain trust, I mean, it doesn't have a think tank, you know, writing his dialogue for him. But propaganda is propaganda, and the move is the move, and I see it so clear. I see what you're trying to do, and it isn't going to work. You see, at the same time, they start talking about these Antifa. They talk, you know, talking about Antifa, that's the communists. We hate them. They're not going to have our country. We're going to beat them out of here. We're going to kill them. We're going to destroy them. Enemy. But these people who came over here, you know, after he gets through doing his diatribe against the Trump, he goes right down to the, well, what is the Trump coalition roots. See, when, you people remember when the thing went down in Roseburg, the false flag shooting in Roseburg, where the asshole went into Umpqua College and shot it up. And man, here come the goddamn world out here to the west where I live. And it's going to be another Sandy Hook kind of thing in a goddamn gun. They're going to attack you. Here's going to be their roots for their gun, attack on the guns in the state of Oregon. And I told you people the first day, no, it ain't. You see, there's a lot of people that have been moved around the country with different agendas, especially out of California and what might have you. But the people who have been here forever have been here forever. I mean, all my life, I know the people. I know my people here. I know who my people are. I know what they'll do. I understand them very well. And I told you people, nah, this shit will not fly in Roseburg, Oregon. And it didn't fly. I mean, this isn't the East Coast. Obama, he had to get on his plane and leave. He wasn't wanted there. You will not hear him talk about the Umpqua shooting and their list of false flag bullshit, because the people there told him, you know, fuck off. Get out. You ain't touching our guns. Get away from us. We don't want nothing to do with your communist asses. But there, you know, there has been, you know, back in the day, I mean, there was like conflict back in back east between the militias, Norm MacDonald, Mark Kornke, and what might have you, Devine, you know, the infamous Wolverine militia and what might have you and stuff. And Norm MacDonald, I guess, went out to Alaska. And during that time, it was like a doctrine that was put down. Like, this is what we've got to do here, guys. Everybody needs to stay in their own AO, you see. Because Kornke didn't want Norm MacDonald, who had influence. He had, you know, I guess, been in, from what I understand, I mean, don't quote me on it, in control of the Michigan militia, I mean, high up. And it shouldn't be, he's over there, he does, you know, the thing, if somebody needs something, they call each other, and this is the way it's got to be. And that was all the way it was until, you know, the shit started out here in the West. And see, us people in the West are different. We don't play fucking games. People mess with us, we fucking fight. And it showed, you know, instead of like what happened with Hatari, which was wrong, what happened out here, you know, those people were acquitted. And I mean, it blew up out here in Las Vegas. The acquittals, people just walk. People don't go for this shit. People are fighters out here. And they, and on the East Coast, boy, everything changed. They seen this. Oh, goddamn, there's power. There's some fucking people a fight. There are some dangerous people that you could threaten in a political situation. If you were running something like a states' rights movement, here, man, here's your balls, here's your power, here's your fear to put into your opposition, to let them know that you're gonna have your people come out, and if you can bring them out, they're not gonna be the vote ain't gonna be taken away. We got as much power as you do. We got crazy ass son of a bitches out here in the West. They'll shoot your ass. But we don't belong to you, East Coast. We're our own people. Now, Portland, boy, I mean, clear out here in the East Coast, man. Yeah, certainly, that's nobody's AO from the East Coast, though. They've been sending people out here as fast as they can to try to, hey, I'm going to be the guy in control. We're going to start this new religious thing. Religious, militia, and bullshit shit, you know, all around us. But they're not us. They're not us. They never have been us. And the bottom line here is, you know, I heard they were talking about the fact that, you know, I'd said that the people in Portland, because of this Antifa bullshit, I said that some of the good old boys outside of town, they seem to come into town and beat these bastards out of the streets. Well, you know, it's just like the Occupy movement, the Tea Party movement. See any power, and go grasp it and call it your own, because you do have an agenda, and it isn't the Bill of Rights. Because you didn't have a bunch of people coming out into the streets and say, we're clearing this goddamn streets out, and because our people are going to walk up and down this street as is their right to do so. No, you had prayer groups come out with their Bibles. And I tell you, Don Betcher says you had the Antifa, and then you had the Americans fighting for America. No, you fucking did not. Those are the two factions that they have been trying to get the 75% out here who want nothing to do with neither one of them to join a side, because you have to put people in two camps before you can get them to kill one another, before you can get them down to a manageable size so that you can control them. So I guess an international militia has been declared I guess so. There's an international militia out here, got some kind of business out here in fucking Oregon. I'll tell you what, you know, things will keep getting pushed like this. You keep playing these fucking games with people, you know, because, you know, like I said, this isn't back east. We're not your people. So, you know, it's like this, you know, the streets get to our people can't walk up and down our goddamn streets anymore because of either these assholes on the Trump coalition who want the old guard back. And you see, that is the plan. See, we're supposed to join one of these sides, the 75%, and kill ourselves down to the point. And see, they'll hold the 3%ers and the Oath Keepers, the old guard. You know, the people that beat us down in the 70s and 80s and 90s and took our common law courts away from us. They'll keep them in the background. As soon as the thing is settled and we beat the communists, here they'll come. And goddamn, they'll be in control. And as far as the churches are concerned, it's the same goddamn deal. They don't want rid of these goddamn dirty ass churches, these dirty churches that have been here since the inception of this country, giving favor to their congregations and to their cliques. It's no more than these states' rights people want rid of these running violation of our Bill of Rights, these bureaucracies. They don't want rid of them. They want back in control of them. So Don Betcher says that those are the Americans fighting for America. No, they're not. That's the other half of that enemy we described when we first started doing this. We told you what the elements were. You had the communists. And then you have these assholes, the Masonic dirty church cabal who's run it from the beginning. And then you have us, the people, the 75% who want their Bill of Rights, who want to live under the common law, who want to live in peace and be left alone, not having no son of a bitch tell us how to live our lives or what's good for us and what ain't. And it's turned, this is where you see it, the subtlety of it. Try to ease you back, because the next program I listen to right behind Mark's, goddamn Trump, man, Trump. These people that Don just called the Americans fighting for America, that is the Trump coalition. These, you know, they the Bible, but it's righteous. It's the Bible. They're bringing the Bible out. I'm going to tell you guys something. You know why the first Americans came to this goddamn country? To get away from that shit. It was called the Church of England. The Bible was the law. Boy, they love that shit, man. It's what a wonderful deal if you're the guy that gets to interpret the subject matter and inflict it on everybody else. But that was the law. And the law was the Bible. And those who interpreted the Bible over there, the people in power, they ran everybody's lives. They told you what you could do, could not do. They taxed you. You were a goddamn slave to it. That's why the people who crossed an ocean into a wilderness, an unforgiving, damn, deadly wilderness, did what they did to get away from that shit. Now, a lot of people came, and they'll tell you, because I wanted to worship different than what their interpretations over there in England were. And they did. And they came here and go, man, I can believe it. Oh, gosh. You know, and most of them were Christian. They were Christian people. Good Quakers. Mennonites, hardcore Christian people who could not exercise their beliefs in jolly old England because somebody else over there was interpreting the Bible in a different way than they were interpreting it, and they weren't getting to live their beliefs. They couldn't. They had to hide it. They were outcast. They were shunned. So they came to this country, and this country was. This is what this country was built upon. is that, you know, I can't stand to be around you. You know, I can always go over here and be away from you. I go over here to be away from you, and you come over here bringing your shit over to me, I will kill your ass dead, because that's what this being free is all about. It ain't about one man's interpretation of any book. The law in this country, Mr. Betcher, is the Bill of Rights. And if your Bible or your interpretations of your Bible run contrary to that Bill of Rights, your Bible falls second. That is the law of this land. This is what our people went out and died for. So that one man couldn't, or a group or a clique couldn't decide what the right and wrong of everything was in every instance that involved nobody, but didn't even involve them, involve your private life. This is the first step into your house and goddamn mirrors on your shoes and cameras in your house. Is this shit? Because it's just like we were talking yesterday about up in Seattle. Oh, we're gonna want them to lock up their guns. Well, how can we know if they, and this is same, this is right out of English. This is also the whole fucking thing flowing right at you. How can we know if everybody's locking their guns? Oh, hell, we're going to have to go in there and look.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you just got to go boom, 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 just start shooting, you know? Don't even worry about it. Just let them come and then just start shooting.
That's where we're at. Well, you know
that? That's where you, like, where you got to draw the line, like William Cooper said. You got to draw the line. Yes. Draw the line somewhere, right? Shit.
That's why they killed William Cooper.
Exactly. And then a whole bunch of other people, right? And then we're the next ones on the list. So you might as well just get locked and loaded and get ready because they're coming. They're just going to come down.
Yes.
They don't care who you are.
And William Cooper also said there is no militia in this country. There are political and there are religious armies, either of which will kill you to enforce their will upon you. We're going to have to take on all comers, guys. But, you know, the revelation, I mean, it's such a thing to me. I mean, there was a lot of revelations in doing the trenches and doing the broadcast and things, you know, like figuring out, well, goddamn it, man, this lie of what the colonies were and the founding fathers, the founding aristocratic treasonous pieces of shit that should have died then, and finding out what all the truths were about. But the greatest truth I learned the other day, and that's when I was talking about walking down that hill. I am the fucking Bill of Rights. We've been going back and forth. John talked about it. We talked about it together. It's a piece of paper. It can't enforce itself. No, it's not. It lives alive in us. And even the people who are Christians, and you say, God gave me that Bill of Rights. Are you going to deny that part of what he gave you? Are you going to stand there with that in you and allow it to be violated? And just stand there, and are you going to talk about it later? See, that's why I said there was a strange calm. I wasn't thinking about a piece of paper and arguing law or a piece of paper. No, that's me. This is my being. This is my absolute right. If you're in front of me in violation of those rights and you've come here to fuck with me and you've come here to fuck with the Bill of Rights, that Bill of Rights is going to blow up right in your face. It is deadly. It will kill you. It will enforce itself. Because it's me, and it's each and every one of us that understands it. Once you know that, and you know you know it inside, don't think of it as a piece of paper, but as a part of your being. And I can hear the people out there, preaching it like it was a religion. Well, you're the ones that said God gave it to you. He put it in you, didn't he? I was arguing back on the side. You know, I was talking about this. And people, have spent unbelievably hours studying the Bible and trying to get this and arguing this interpretation against this other interpretation. They don't know the fucking Bill of Rights. They don't know what gives them the freedom to even think the things they think. Without that, you will think what you are told or be beat down. But it's not a piece of paper. It's our being. That's what we're supposed to be. Free beings. What makes us free? Those 10 articles on that piece. It's written on a piece of paper, but it is very much, it's alive. There's blood pumping through it. It's energy. It's life. If I'm standing there and I'm that Bill of Rights and somebody goes to violate me, that Bill of Rights, absolutely, I know it's being violated. They're there to violate it. Their intent is to violate it, and boom, I fucking shoot him. I guess that Bill of Rights just enforced itself, didn't it? And this is the attitude. This is what we have to become if we want it back. You people who are so, I mean, you live your religion so deeply. You don't realize what gives it to you. You give it to yourself. You give it to yourself because you will not give on that first article. One part of that first article, too many don't like, is that I got the right not to believe. But I have the responsibility to kill to make sure you can believe, to make that Bill of Rights explode if somebody tries to take your right away from you to believe. And God Almighty, what else could you ask from a man? Oh, I want you to do that, Henry. I want you to explode, to lay down your life for my right to believe in my interpretations of my Bible. But you son of a bitch, I don't care if you die. You're not a believer. You're a damn demon. If you don't believe in God, then well, you're a demon. See, you can't play this game back and forth. It doesn't work that way. The Bill of Rights doesn't work that way. And this thing with Corky here, trying to ease it, you know, this is what this is. This is propaganda. You know, this good cop, bad cop, you know, and stepping in with words like, those were Americans fighting for Americans. No, those were goddamn traitors. Those were traitors fighting for an old system back that put them above other people through their cliques in their congregations, through their belief in a book, in a single book. It will give them, if there's a piece of land out there that would be open to any two Americans, okay, you're standing there. There's no difference between you. It's not a flip of the coin that decides it. He's holding a Bible. Of course he's going to get it first because he's one of us. And that is not what this fucking country was built on. It is not a religious state. That's what we fled. We fled a religious state that was absolute. The Church of England, see, they had dictates written down as law. As absolute law. And the Mennonites and the other denominations, they had to abide by those goddamn things, you know, those dictates out of that goddamn book. They didn't come over here to say, this is a Christian state and it's going to be my interpretation now. They came over to say, I can think any fucking thing I want to think. I have a free mind. And I don't talk about this as a novice. I have read the Bible backwards and forwards. I was raised in a church. I had medals. I earned my first Bible memorizing scripture. I'm not talking out my ass. And the one thing that I do remember from those days that was written in that book is that Jesus Christ required a free choice without coercion, without threat, without some son of a bitch saying, I see it this way, there's for you shall. There was never supposed to be no pulpits.
That he chased the money junkies out of the temple.
You goddamn right he did.
He flipped tables and he went in there and he was a revolutionary in my eyes.
Violent.
Jesus was not a pussy.
And no. And for the last time, Jesus was not a Jew. He couldn't be. And all you Christians out there who keep insisting that Jesus was a Jew, then you are stupid, because then you're Jews. You have to be. Jesus, if the way it was written, Jesus was of immaculate conception. That means God put a separate being inside of him. I don't care if it was a Chinese woman. I don't care if it was a Indian woman. I don't care if it was a white woman. It was separate and apart. It was the first Christian born. Jesus Christ was a Christian from his first breath. He was the birth of Christianity. And they missed this.
He was the prototype. He was here to prove that we are not subject to death.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and like I said, the religious thing, we got to put this aside. We have to. I'll tell you what I am inside. I'm the Bill of Rights. I am the Bill of Rights in its essence. I know it so well. I know that if somebody goes to touch me or to grab me or to accost me, I know exactly where they're violating it. I know it is an absolute violation. I know I have the absolute right to explode. Boom! No, you do not. The Bill of Rights just stopped you. This is what we have to become. Without that, you don't have anything else. You can mumble, jumble around and have your political and your goddamn, religious armies the rest of your days and die, and you'll die in more treachery than you were born in, and your children will be living it next. If you can't get it through your head that you are the Bill of Rights and it is alive, see, at Lexington and Concord, it wasn't no piece. Did they walk up with a piece of paper and say, you can't do these things here? Or did they say, I'm coming to get your guns. We're walking up. We're coming to get you. Boom! No, you're not. That wasn't nothing written down. That was inside those men. No, you're not. And the bill, and we were so blessed to be given the Bill of Rights, to have men that were so intelligent that they knew how to write fact of law with that could not be broken. And it can't be broken. It's never been changed. They can call it the Second Amendment. It isn't the Second Amendment. It is the First Article. It could never be the Second Amendment. It can't be changed. They did it perfect. They wrote it down not so that we would, have something to look at, to argue and try to say, well, they're taking 4 and 5. No, they wrote it down so we understood that's who we are. That is our being. You do not touch me without warrant. You do not accost me. You do not seize me. You do not infringe upon my property. You do not infringe upon my person when I'm standing at peace. You come to me, I'm standing at peace, and you try to violate those rights, boom! That goddamn Bill of Rights deals with you right there on the spot. It wasn't something we were to petition for. He violated my rights. He violated my forfeit. Well, he sure did. But we're in an admiralty court here, and we don't even recognize your Bill of Rights. So I guess that's a moot argument. I guess it wouldn't have been moot if at the time that the Bill of Rights was being attacked, the Bill of Rights attacked back. Now, would it? And that's what this has got to come. Fuck this prayer shit, these prayer group bullshit going down, and they're going to hit each other. Antifa, they could be down there beating each other with Antifa. They pushing this way, and boy, he sure got a good hit. He was an American fighting for America. And then about 3 blocks, Portland, it's a big city like that. About 4 blocks, 5 or 6 cars up each block. 5 or 6 guys get out of each car. American nationals with the God. If you want, you can pin that goddamn Bill of Rights right on your chest. If you can't remember that it's you. With about 50 rounds of double-aught buckshot in each pocket and their shotguns loaded. Walk out there and boom, 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 boom. Clear that fucking street. Cops, boom, 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 boom. Dead cops, dead communists. Now we're headed over to the municipal offices. You're under arrest, you son of a bitch. You're going to be tried and you are going to be convicted and you're going to be hung for violating me. I'm the Bill of Rights. You're not taking it from me. It's not something you can take from me. That's why it's described that way, people. And this game that these guys are playing, this shit here with this states' rights bullshit. And if we can get this guy into position, we could, it'll make a difference. They talked about building a structure for after the war. You got no intent of no fucking war, but there is going to be one because we're not going to be ruled by you, buddy. We're not going to be ruled by your Bible. We're just not going to do it. We're going to live under the common law and the Bill of Rights.
Or your Quran.
Or your Quran. We're not going to be the only document is us. It's really us. We are going to be, that's self-governance. We're going to be governed by us. My rights are right here with me. Your rights are right there with you. And the peaceable way we settle them is through our common law. I assert myself. I assert my rights as a part of myself. You assert your rights as a part of yourself. We trust in 12 of our brothers and sisters who also have their rights, who reside inside them. And they judge what the situation and say, man, would this be a taking of this right? Because it's my right we're talking about too, because it's me too. And you'll get there can be no more just decisions made. If everything's just like that and everybody is examining it through their own self and their own rights, and even the person who loses in court is going to, Damn it, I was wrong. Sorry about that, Bob. Shake hands. And Bob said, yeah, you know, just forget, you know. It was the point I was trying to make. I've seen this shit happen. It was just a point. I just wanted to clarify what my rights are. We could live so peaceably together if it weren't for these goddamn people who just want to control other people. They think that they have, I don't get it. They think that, oh boy, I guess I was born. I mean, all of them sees themselves as Jesus, I suppose. I was immaculately conceived. My mind is above the rest of the minds on this whole planet. God is, I'm God's son. I mean, and, oh, I read that. I read that. And 50 people have read that and interpreted it 50 different ways. Ah, I know what it means. I know what it means because I'm me. That's how everybody's going to have to live, or they're going to be going against my God. You go against me, you go against God. That is the sickest shit that's ever existed on this planet, people. I'm sorry. More people have died of it than plagues and wars. Just that sick shit of one person just thinking that they're just so goddamn much smarter than the next feller. And the thing, it just can't leave people alone. That guy ain't over there bothering you. But I do see that he, you know, he's swinging his scythe from left to right. And I read a passage in the Bible. It's supposed to be swung from right to left. He's a half fucking mile over there. I'm going clear over there, and I'm going to shut that son of a bitch down. He's going to swing that scythe the way up my Lord says, or he's a goddamn demon, and he's going to have to be put down. This is how sick it is. And you go to the sickest parts, the Mennonites and the Quakers in the early days. They got people fucking through sheets. Well, they went, I mean, this is just like that gun thing, guys. Now you got to remember, how are they going to know you're fucking through the sheets unless they come in and look? Maybe that's one of the jobs that one of the higher up interpreters will get. Go ahead, brother.
My God says I can kill you, and it's okay.
Exactly, man. I think you're getting it. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Nurses all got around. They gazed in a white wonder at the joy they had found. Head nurse spoke up to leave this one alone. She could tell right away that was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:41 Pacific Time. And that was Blackberry Smoke with Payback's a Bitch, and ain't it? You know, we were talking about these protests and they are Americans fighting for America. You see, they're not, like I said, it's propaganda. They're not going to come out. You know, like me, I'm a rough talking son of a gun. You know, I use profanity and I really don't like the fact that that's the way it is. But this is just how things have to be said at this point in the ball game. I tell you the goddamn truth. I don't try to manipulate you this way or kind of edge you that way or edge you back this way. But I'll tell you what's got them so happy over there. You see, in the executive branch of the government, their boy Donald Trump, a part of the Trump coalition, the head of the Trump coalition, he put a Christian religious leader, he gave him a position in the executive. He gave him an office on your dime. That is a violation of me. That is a violation of my first article right that says there will be no state sponsoring religion. That gives that man's interpretations of his book an edge up on me, and there ain't no such thing in this country. It is, I mean, but you'll never hear them speak out against that, that that is wrong, that that is a violation, because that's a violation that suits them. And a part of this Trump coalition, this Patriot prayer group, that's the whole Trump agenda, people. That is the war. That's going over and killing the Iranian people. That's killing the Syrian people. That's killing the Palestinians off. That's taking everything for their masters over there in Jewland. That's all a part of it. Wave that Bible. That makes, oh, they're good people. Look at them hit. Antifa now, like I said, they need to be shot out of the streets. Wave that Bible and everything. Oh, there's America fight. No, that ain't fucking America. That ain't America. That is a bunch of traitors is what that is. Those are traitors to the Bill of Rights. They are the people that have benefited from the treachery that's been handed down for 240 years from the original aristocrats who hijacked the goddamn People's Uprising, called it their revolution, and handed everything out to their own because they waved that Bible. Waving that Bible can't mean nothing in this country. It does give you no advantage over the next guy if he doesn't believe in it. It just don't. And the book itself, I mean, again, you know, they play both ends against the middle. And it's a real free choice, ain't it? That's what, I mean, every one of them would be, I mean, if they, I can't believe they believe their own book. Every one of them be going straight to hell for trying to coerce people. I mean, I don't think that the Jesus Christ that I read about in that Bible, he wouldn't have been for coercion. That being said, let's look at some articles. ODF brings in 747 air tanker to help with wildfires. What do you know? It can be used. This is from KEZI, and man, we are choking on smoke here. News sent in by Gray Rider. For discussion, I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com, near Grants Pass, Oregon. In southern Oregon, the Oregon Department of Forestry brought in a 747 Vault, I guess it's a VLAT, very large air tanker, to help the quick-moving Garner complex fire. And like I said, you know, I've thought about it. And for what they're paying for all these Mexican shovels, they get the Mexican shovels through the visa programs for $5 an hour. That's what the SPICs get paid. And they're getting $24 a piece for bringing them there in their buses. This is such a big scam. That's why they want the fires to burn. That's why we're choking on smoke. The longer the fire goes, if you put it out with shovels, hell, it'll take all summer. Boy, ching, ching. But for what the money that we are being extorted from our people, for a fraction of it. In each state, especially the states with, the bigger forests and stuff, you could have those planes just sitting there full of that shit. You know, think if you had six of them bastards sitting side by side in a place like Oregon, you can get a big fire in Oregon. If the fires are being reported, by the time you have that fire reported, you might have 5-10 acres that son of a bitch, four of them planes, be like, it's out. They don't want it. And it's all been a scam. We live in the land of the scam. It's all about emptying the pockets of the poorest people in the country, and the money flows up, and he's stealing from him because we are the people. And, you know, for that God thing again, I'll tell you what. And there is exceptions out there, and you people know who you are. But the main God worshipped in this country, no matter how much dogma, no matter how much big readings people do and writings people do, it's mammon. That controls your every thought. And everything else is a farce to put you in a better position to where you can, I guess, feel like you're doing the right thing serving mammon. But that's what you do, and that's what this is.
Well, mammon is a religion.
Oh, you goddamn right it is, brother. It is the religion. It is the religion. If there's a world religion, it's mammon. And the people of the United States, even some, I mean, I know there's real Christians out there, and I wouldn't insult none of my brothers and sisters out there. You knew who you are. But there,
the Baphomet or something like that, the mammon, the money, the Baphomet.
Exactly, brother.
Yeah.
Exactly correct. And the ones that, I mean, that'll write all this shit and try to tell you, you know, this person, that you, these people are wrong and you got to go this way and we got to destroy this way and God's going to destroy them and all this shit, they are the ones that got the biggest fucking piles of it. You look at somebody like Benny Hinn or that goddamn Joel, what's his name? Joel.
Olstein.
Olstein. Mr. Olstein. You look at him, all the money, I mean... Who are they? Who is that guy? You people tell me. I know there's some good Christians on this that listening to this broadcast. Who's old Joel? Who is he serving? Mammon?
The God of Mammon.
The God of Mammon? And then you see that poor preacher, you know, in a small town. Man, he's out, he's scrounging up food. He's, you know, getting, you know, to give to the poor people. I mean, giving out of his own pocket, even doing without. I've seen it. And, but, you know, you never hear about that guy. There ain't nobody would want to send him a goddamn dollar. Because, you know what?
He's
they don't.
Up there, the masters, you know, Israel and the Rothschilds, you know?
Exactly correct.
The one that prints our paper currency.
Exactly correct. But they see, they look at this guy, this truly righteous, this righteous person who is actually, if there is a service to God, he's doing it. And well, you know, gosh, he just got, look at that beat up old church and stuff, man. I'll throw you a $5 bill or something. But Joe Nelson, or Joe Olson, out here with these huge temples and big limousines and stuff. Wow. That's, he must be really, I mean, he must be like God's right. I better give him $1 million. And he'll take that $1 million where that poor preacher will take his last $25-$30 and feed somebody hungry. Take that $1 million and you buy another big estate out there. And then fucking people just stand back in this country and look at it like, yeah, USA, ain't it great to be an American?
I heard some bullshit like 20 years ago, this preacher up there in Washington saying that, you know, if you don't believe in God or in the church, you know, that's why you're poor. Because God doesn't want you to be poor. All right? So if you're poor, it's because you don't believe.
Well, yeah, that was just like with Benny Hinn. I mean, who in the hell was that other one? Jim Baker. You know, it's this whole idea. First time I heard it, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm getting up and go to work. I was working at a plant making circuit boards, and I had to get it real early, man. It was long, arduous work. But every morning I'd be showering and stuff, and we just got married. We'd had a little black and white TV and turn on the two freaking stations, and I see this guy, Jim Baker, first time I ever seen him. I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and I'm listening to son of a bitch. He wants a station wagon. I need a station wagon, he said. And so I'm listening to him drinking my, and man, the woman, she's there crying in this fucking makeup running down her face. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, what in the world? I go, what is this? What in the hell are these people doing? And
the religious circus, Henry.
Oh, buddy. And then he started.
The religious circus.
And then every morning, because I didn't have very long, because it'd just be when I drink my coffee, but I check this guy out because I was fascinated by him. And I mean, this is when he was just starting out. You know who Jim Baker was. He was after a fucking station wagon, 10 grand. He had to have a station wagon. At any rate, so I'm watching this guy progress, and then I start hearing this thing. If you give money out to these people, it comes back to you. Is that something that God worked out? I mean, is that how God? I always thought that, you know, if you were ever going to give, you'd seen the person that needed it the most. I mean, I've gave my last $5 to a woman standing with her children. You know, I can tell the difference between a junkie and a poor person. And if I don't care if it's my last $5. I see somebody like that, I give it to them. You know, and I think that was a real giving. You know what I mean? I wasn't expecting next week for her to send me back $25. Go ahead.
But you don't cast judgment upon them, whether they buy liquor, heroin, or whatever. You're not there to judge them.
No, I'm not. I know I would not for a second. Yes, but I do look at them. If I think that's someone who's, you know, buying dope, I ain't going to give them my last $5. I'm fucking poor too. But if I see a woman, I see kids hungry, man. That's something I can't handle. If I know that there's some kids hungry, man, whatever I got here, take it. I want you to have it. But I ain't gonna buy somebody a bag. I ain't gonna do it.
That's because you know what it's like to be hungry.
Yeah, I do. Been there, done it. Got the T-shirt. But at any rate, I mean, what I'm talking about here is that this whole concept of you just give. I mean, and people did it. God, look what Jim Baker did from that day I seen him. That was a lot of years. My son, hell, that would have made it about 38 years ago. It's when he first started out. And I see this empire build. I watched it happen. And I mean, this in like a Disneyland kind of thing. And I'm going, because, you know, I was still then. That was before my brother died and everything. And, you know, I was a member of a church. A real fucking church. And you know, the church that I was at, man, I mean, the minister, I had seen him commit the acts that I've, you know, spoken of, give his last dollars over. Somebody broke down on the side of the road traveling, you know, through. He's there. He's taking them in. He might come over and have my dad walk over there and fix their damn car for him, put gas in their car. The doors to that church, and this was a fucking mean-ass town, people, make no mistake about it. But the doors to that church, even through the wintertime, they stood open. They were never locked. And in the wintertime, that the preacher, Brother Renz, he would go in there. He kept a fire burning in there every night. You know why? Because people were drunk. I mean, it was Indians. You know, it was reservation shit. And people were drunk. And how many people he saved, because everybody they knew, wherever they were, if they could figure out their directions, where they were, buzzed as they were, if they get to that damn church, they crawl in there and lay down, and it's warm, you know. That was somebody that fucking, you know, that if he took a dollar that was put in his plate. He wasn't looking to put nothing in his pocket or build anything fancy, a monument to himself. He was just helping people. That's what I thought it was about. But then you see on the large scale, like we're talking about here with Joel Olson, it's the same thing with the Patriot community. You have somebody like Alex Jones is two-bit. He's the Jim Jones with the so-called Patriot movement. And people showered on him because he's a big guy, you know. I can't throw him a $5 bill. I mean, you throw him hundreds, you know, or thousands or tens of thousands, you know, and the people really doing the work at the bottom who really care, who are trying to make everything better, they just get, you know, shit on. It's mammon. Mammon rules.
Come drink my Kool-Aid.
That's it, brother. The thing is that it comes down to mammon. I mean, you people out there who may be a little cross with me about the things I've said about the religious thing, you think about it a little bit. I mean, I know there's people of you nothing to say. Well, nothing to say to me, Henry, and then you didn't take it personal because you knew better anyway, and it don't matter. But some of you people out there, you need to think about it. You need to think about, man, how much of my service is to my true. I mean, I'm telling myself I believe and I have these deep beliefs and everything, but man, is that what's really I'm doing here? Is that what I'm really doing here? Or am I trying to manipulate things around? Am I looking at, I mean, does it, how, what is that fine line between the religious ideal and industry? That's what we're talking about right here, right now, is that fine line between ideals and industry. This could make a lot of money, I can justify it. God would want me to build this plant here and take all, you know, take the property of these American nationals and take it and make it mine and so that I could, they could work for me, and I could give them some mammon. I could give them some, I would be helping those people. Well, wait a minute, it belongs to them too. You don't just get to take it. And the just the taking, this is the part they ignore. They ignore that I just took what was my brother's and then put him into the service of servicing me, developing and making something out of something that belonged to him. And for a penance, I'm paying him. You know, you talked about whipping the money users out of the temple. And this is, I mean, money, mammon is, I mean, it is a sneaky son of a bitch. It sneaks around people and people don't even see it, but people do understand. And when they start thinking about power is not separated from mammon. Power and mammon are one.
That's the programming.
Yes, sir.
It is. Programming is working with the money system.
That's absolutely.
You know, condition someone's mind and say, oh, let's give that energy to it.
Well, they, you know, it's like the wars, you know, went back and we've seen how all the wars were a lie. Yet when the people were going out there, God, we're going to win because God's on our side. How fucking wrong were you? And you still won. So was really God on your side? And then when you really step back and you examine the situation, you look at the paperwork, actually a God called Mammon decided who won that goddamn war, didn't he? And then you try to play these things against one another, and that's what I'm talking about, the clutter. We right now, our Bill of Rights, people, is in, man, it's on the epitaph. It needs us. It needs us like it hasn't needed us since 1775. It needs us. It needs us bad. It needs us to take it in and to be it. And to be the, I mean, we're not going to build these army things and put the paper out there. Come and rally around this paper. Know it's in us. Each and every one of us. And I'm telling you people right now, if each and every person could understand what I'm saying and say, I'm the Bill of Rights, they couldn't do nothing. They step, whoever you step up, boom, it's exploding right in your face. You're not going past that. It's not going to go over here to a building where you've set up some kind of mammon collection system. You're calling some kind of phony admiralty court. It's not going past this point right here. It stops here. I may be dead, but there's another one just like me right over there. And you can't kill us all. And every time that summit is going to blow up in your face until you understand that it is the absolute fucking law and there ain't a goddamn thing you can do about it. We've reached the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And like I said, people, that was such a feeling. It's the essence of it, man. It wasn't like doing something in the abstract. It was just I was being it. Being the Bill of Rights. And that's what we have to do. Because that's what we're supposed to do. It wasn't supposed to be a piece of paper that we read and, like everybody says, can enforce itself. Hell yes, it will enforce itself. If it's me. If it's violated and boom, something bad happens, I guess it enforced itself. And that is The Word from the Trenches.